May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Because I have the microphone on, the only time actually that I had a chance to go to Israel with a group of people, we got to walk the Via Della Rosa, which is called the Way of the Cross, where Jesus carried his cross. And we went to Calvary. Now, if you go to Israel and you want to take a tour for the last, I don't know, maybe 100 years, maybe not that long, there's what's called the Gordon's Tomb, which is a Protestant, came up, a Protestant idea of where the Calvary was. But for almost 2,000 years, the church has always said it was in what's called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. An interesting thing about Calvary was when we went in there, like this huge boulder. This boulder had a big crevice in it, like a crack. And that would wedge the cross or the crosses in that crack. It was this huge, big thing that the building's kind of built around. And then the idea makes more sense that the stone that the builders rejected, they couldn't quarry that stone from that because it had cracks in it. So they couldn't use it to build buildings. And so the stone that the builders rejected became the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone of the birthing of a whole new creation, of a whole new world, with a whole new king, Jesus. Let me just encourage you, this is a side note, just to encourage you. One of the unfortunate consequences of being at home with a sore tooth, my face was pretty swollen yesterday, is you watch more television and watch news. I don't care what news it is. It's just like, turn it off because it's just such bad news all the time. Need to understand that the resurrection was the announcement of a whole new kingdom. And there was a whole new king. And though it's a kingdom that we see its manifestation when it's manifested, that is heavenly in nature. Everything that we see that's visible, is according to Hebrews 1, was created by the, Hebrews 11 was created by that which is invisible. And so regardless of what we see going on around us, and you can get drawn into fears and anxiety and all that kind of thing about what's going to happen to our nation, the most important thing for us as Christians is that we have a king, and that king is reigning, and he is ruling. And the purposes of God is like, if you fly a lot, you find yourself in rivers, streams of air that are traveling like a river at a much faster speed than before you got into them. And it can call like jet stream. It can cause the plane to fly faster. There's like this river of the kingdom of heaven that you may not always see, but it's happening. And it's the most powerful governmental force on the universe, in the universe. Just be encouraged by that. You can't always see it, but you will see its manifestation. The scriptures that Bracken read talks about this stone that the builders rejected, that either you can fall on the stone, basically fall on the stone and come alive, or have the stone fall on you and be crushed. To fall on that stone is to simply realize that at the cross, Jesus crucified the old self that you were. When Scripture says that he died for us, that doesn't just mean that in some objective, abstract way, he died for your sins so you'll go to heaven and in proof that he loves you. He came to change everything. He came to make all things new. And so not only was your penalty for your sin paid for in his death, but the person who sinned and whoever will sin, that person was crucified and you were raised up whole in him, the new creation. And so when we talk about people dying to self, it's important that we remember that Jesus took care of that. You don't have to strain and struggle to die to self, because that happened 2,000 years ago at the cross. Your very baptism is you're saying yes to that. You're coming into agreement with that, thanking him for that, that what you were was buried, and who you are in him is something totally new, wet new, spanking new, dripping new in Christ. And to fall on that stone is simply to come into agreement with that, is to simply say yes to that, is to simply believe that. And as we do, then we begin to manifest the truth that the self that we were no longer exists, but we're now a new self in union with Christ. For to wait for the stone to crush us is for God to influence us with severe love, to bring us to a place where we're willing to say yes to him and what he's already accomplished. There's a great place in the scripture that talks about taking the kingdom by force. That's aggressively going after the will of God, going after the ways of God. What I've discovered often in my life, unfortunately, is that I've put God in a position where he's had to force the kingdom on me. It's a lot more fun if you take the kingdom by force than putting God in a position to force the kingdom on you. Now, here's God. He's so loving that if I refuse to fall on the stone will keep chasing me down, even if it means having to crush me to set me free, to see my freedom. He's already set me free. But if we refuse what he's done for us, this great gift, the stone will pursue us and chase us down. As a matter of fact, it talks about in 1 Corinthians 10 that the rock is actually the kind of the word boulder that Moses struck and water came out like a river. That rock followed them everywhere they went throughout the wilderness. And 1 Corinthians 10 says that rock was Jesus. And the stone will chase you. The kingdom of heaven, God doesn't say, all right, you didn't choose, I'm done with you, and then pout, go back into a spiritual room, throne room, because it has a door, and he pouts and says, just go to hell, I don't care. No, Jesus died for the whole world. He set every one of us free, potentially. And he will pursue us to the gate of hell, still giving us a chance to say yes to him. It's his great love for us. So when you hear that verse, when it says, either fall on the stone, that's good, or the stone will fall on you and crush you, that's not about God being mad. Since you didn't say yes, I'm going to get you now. It's God saying, it's better to fall on the stone that the builders rejected and receive the gift of new life in him, instead of making him chase you down and crush you, out of love, so that you can say yes and experience the new life he has for you in Christ. It's all about the love of God. Amen? Because the stone that the builders rejected, where Christ was crucified, carried all the rejection that you'll ever experience or ever fear in relationship to God, and crucified it all. That's a good thing. Amen. I'm so grateful that when Jesus rose from the dead and I looked in the tomb and I saw grave clothes that had not been unwrapped, that Jesus had slipped out of, that those were your grave clothes. That's who you used to be in all of your brokenness. That was you. And you can begin to celebrate that reality. That's true inner healing. True transformation is when the Holy Spirit takes us to the opening of the tomb and we get to look in and we see that that place, that thing that's been haunting us, we slipped out of in Christ. He's already accomplished it. That the stone that the builders rejected set us free. Amen. name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.